live from New York City. It's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. Lots to share. We're going to talk about why we need to give our children organic fruits and vegetables. What's wrong with it otherwise? Also, a key ingredient that could help cure aggressive prostate cancer. For all the people out there who know someone who have it, you won't want to miss that. A really in-depth classroom on the air today about a superfood, blueberries. New information from Susan Evans of Life Extension. I'll share that. From our science section today, those who advocate for the human papillomavirus, that it's safe and effective, it is neither. Dr. Joseph Marcola from Health Impact News will respond. Then from our environmental segment, lots of information, including a look in depth at jumping genes. What are jumping genes? They're bad. I'll explain them. Also, HARP. I haven't had a chance this week because of all the special programming to deal with this. How we are spending billions, if not tens of billions of dollars, on a way of manipulating weather patterns, having nothing to do with the benefit of human beings, but rather as a military secret tool. I'll get to that. And very important is the Great Mexican Maize Massacre. Gene giants like Monsanto and DuPont and Dow are plotting the boldest coup of a global food crop in history. I'll tell you about that. As you can see, we never touch on the topics that are dealt with by the mainstream media. Nothing on sports, nothing on celebrities, nothing on daily politics, what's going on in Capitol Hill, nothing on the mainstream media. Those are all really irrelevant. We deal with what's really important, and always from a progressive meaning, looking for solutions standpoint. Let's begin. The latest study on why only organic fruits and vegetables should be shared comes from a professor from California University in Davis. He says the following: pesticides and other poisonous chemicals used in growing fruits and vegetables could be putting young children at risk of developing cancer later in life. Preschool children in particular are in danger of exposure to these compounds. So that's important. And we have to understand, quote, contaminants get into our food in a variety of ways. They can be chemicals that have nothing to do with the food or byproducts from processing. We wanted to understand the dietary pathway pesticides, metals, and other toxins take to get into our body. So they studied 364 children, and 207 were under 5 years of age. And all these were preschool kids. And what they found is all of them exceeded the non-cancer risk levels for acrylamides. That's a cooking byproduct often found in processed foods like potato chips, tortilla chips. And pesticide exposure was particularly high in tomatoes, peaches, apples, pears, peppers, grapes, lettuce, broccoli, strawberry, spinach, all dairy products, green beans, and celery. Quote, currently the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency only measures risk based on exposures of individual contaminants, end quote. Now, what does this mean, lay language? It means this. And by the way, you can watch this program. We're streaming live over video at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com or GaryNull.com. Over 30 years ago, I did a series of programs during 1 week of my show. Each and every one involved what's in our food. How is that food grown? Is there anything happening that could adversely affect our cells? And with every show that we did, we focused upon tiny amounts, parts per billion, not even parts per million, and how they're accumulating in our body. Heavy metals, lead, cadmium, mercury, also dioxins, and all these plasticized ingredients that go into plastic containers, aluminum from our cookware. And by the way, for almost 30 years, the number one way that you got your TV dinner was in a aluminum foil container. So when you heated it up, either in an oven or a microwave, that allowed small amounts of the aluminum matter to dissolve into the food. So we were ingesting very high amounts of aluminum. Not good at all, but no one knew. Now what we're seeing is nothing has changed. But here's the bad part. We have more chemicals, more pesticides at more deadly levels than ever before getting into our bodies. So the takeaway message is really simple. Buy organic fruits and vegetables for yourself and your children. You can buy them at the farmer's market, at food co-ops, at health food stores. Even major chains now have organic produce. The price has come down, the variety has expanded, and being an organic certified farmer, I can assure you that they are far healthier. There's a lot more nutrient density. But if you don't do that, if you start giving your kid a lot of processed foods like potato chips, that study showed that the acrylamides, which come anytime you heat a carbohydrate to a high level, a french fry, acrylamides, the crust in pizza, acrylamides, a bagel, a donut, deep frying flour, you create acrylamides by the gazillions. Also, all of the cereals, all of your processed cereals. Now, mind you, there's a whole market today, and it's a big market with enormous variety due to the creativity and ingenuity of the small business person who's come up with all kinds of granolas that are raw. They're crunchy, that's because they're dehydrated, but they're not cooked. They simply have low temperature, like 110 degrees, 115 max, overnight, that will take the moisture out of a given grain, let's say like an oat. That's enough to dry it out, and then it's, you know, you add whatever liquid you want, rice milk, almond milk, and you have what would otherwise be a nice, crunchy cereal, but it's crunchy from raw, health, antioxidants, good for you, versus crunchy from one of those processed wheat or oat or one of the other corn cereals. Those are just all acrylamides and sugar. So that's what our kids are taking. Now they're taking pesticides, they're taking chemical agents, and they're taking all these processed foods. Little wonder that they're suffering from diseases. So that's what it was saying. For all the men who care about your prostate, very good news. Resveratrol. Res, R-E-S, Vera, V-E-R-A, Trol, T-R-O-L. Resveratrol. Now what is it? It's the red ingredient that you find in wine. It is the natural pigment in grapes, mainly in the grape skins, in blueberries, in pomegranates, in several other of the berries. And we know from thousands now of studies in the peer-reviewed literature that it's extremely good for us. So there's two ways of getting it. One, you can get it by eating the food. That's ideal. Two, you can get it from the food and take it in any supplemental form as a powder or in a capsule. That's an extra bonus to your body. Here's the latest on it. This is from the University of Missouri. Scientists, they've uncovered ways resveratrol might be used to create a cure for the most aggressive prostate cancers. Quote, other studies have noted that resveratrol made tumor cells more susceptible to chemotherapy, and we wanted to see if it had the same effect for radiation therapy. This is according to a professor, Nichol, of the Surgical Oncology Division. We found that when exposed to the compound, meaning resveratrol, the tumor cells were more susceptible to radiation treatment. In fact, he said that when resveratrol was used along with radiation, quote, up to 97% of all cancer tumors completely died. An extraordinarily high percentage than treatment with radiation alone. So let me be clear on this. Let's say that you have an aggressive prostate cancer that hundreds of thousands of men have, tens of thousands will die from this year. By taking resveratrol and then having radiation therapy, it could kill, quote, up to 97% of all cancer tumor cells completely died. Quote, it is important to note that this killed all types of prostate tumor cells, including aggressive tumor cells, end quote. So that's the good news on a nutrient, and the studies were published in the Journal of Andrology and Cancer Sciences. So that's essential life-saving information. Also today, everyday medicines make women ill. Now, this is from the Imperial College of London, as reported in the Times of India. I'll quote, many pills commonly used daily by women, such as painkillers and heart drugs, were never tested on females, pregnant or otherwise, before being put on the market, researchers have revealed. Now, this may explain the women who are more likely to have side effects from prescription drugs than men. Quote, women are about twice as likely to suffer side effects from prescription drugs as men. Dr. Holcroft of Imperial College London arrived at his figure by studying the latest official figures on reported side effects released earlier in this cycle from official sources. Now, here's my thoughts on that. I have debated so many times in my career on the issue of, are the medicines that most people receive daily, are they first really the best way of helping a person? For example, if you have inflammation in your joints, you have arthritis, or you have high blood pressure, or if you have diabetes, if you're overweight, if you're feeling a little moody, are the current medical protocols, the anti-tranquilizers, anti-anxiety medications, the COX-2 inhibitors for pain relief, like Vioxx and Celebrex, the statins, is this what we should be using? In order to answer this question, I hired some top research scientists, medical doctors who had a background in research, and it took almost 5 years. The results of that were that 88% of all medicine, everything in medicine, has no scientific validity for using it. And not only can we not prove that it's safe and effective for a given patient, the second part of the study shows that much of this is actually unsafe and leads to what are called iatrogenic or medically induced illness, injury, or death. I wrote all this up into a report and submitted it for peer review publication. I received no feedback at all. Normally, if they're not going to take an article, they just reject it. They didn't. Then I sent it out to over 7,000 members of the American media, every health reporter and science writer I could find. Then I sent it to every one of the 50 state individual legislators, over 5,000 legislators. I sent it to every member of Congress. I sent it to the National Cancer Institute and every governmental agency. I sent it to Harvard and MIT, American Dietetic Association. Not a single person responded. Now, mind you, this isn't a lay person writing an opinion piece. We were all highly academically qualified scientists. I published numerous papers. I presented my work before some of the most important scientific bodies in the world by invitation. And I've done over 120 important scientific experiments, including some that were revolutionary, especially on identifying complete proteins in fruits and vegetables and grains that were thought not to have complete proteins, and also my work on anti-aging. And I'm a PhD, and I was the first to get honors at my university. I only tell you that because sometimes people think, well, you probably got rejected because you don't have the right the right background. Nonsense. And everyone on my team, professor of neurology with 80 published papers in peer-reviewed journal from Mount Sinai, every single person in our study was a qualified MD or PhD. So that wouldn't be grounds for rejecting it. The information itself showed that medicine was the number one cause of death and injury. That's why it was rejected. Because had anybody given us a form, had anybody taken this on, even to have challenged us and said, your figures are wrong. Are they? Show us where they're wrong. We only used your figures. We used the federal government's figures. We used the American College of Radiology, the American Cancer Society, the National Cancer Institute, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease. We only use their figures. So if our figures are wrong, theirs are wrong. Nobody would respond for a simple reason. It's what Fritz Perl, the father of Gestalt, said, a fear of knowing is a fear of doing. If you don't want to do something, don't know anything about it, so you can then have plausible deniability. We didn't know anything. We'd looked into it. We didn't know. Really? You didn't know? How can over 12,000 individuals who got the most important single challenge to all of American medicine in American history ever not know? Not know. That shows you how utterly bankrupt and corrupt the entire medical industrial complex is. That does not mean, I am not suggesting for a second, that they're not noble, well-intentioned, and qualified people working within the system, but they're not controlling it. So it means that your health is always at risk when you do one of their so-called proven therapies, because we showed their proven therapies weren't proven, especially in cancer and heart disease and diabetes and arthritis. In fact, more Americans died from a single drug, 66,000 to 500,000 Vioxx, than all of American dead in Vietnam. Now that is something worth looking into. But did American media, did Time Magazine, did any major journal, CNN, did anyone go in there and say, how in the world do you kill 66,000 Americans? The company stock goes up. The head of the company gets a raise. Nobody's held accountable. The FDA doesn't withdraw it from the market. They don't have to plead guilty to anything. They pay a fine and everything's back to business. How does that happen? And no one paid attention. Well, for a simple reason. Which magazine, newspaper, radio, or television show was going to say, we will, you will what? We'll show how doctors gave drugs that were killing their patients and weren't paying attention. Pharmaceutical companies knew in advance that they had a dangerous drug, but cared more about the profit. The directors of these corporations making this drug and other drugs simply add in to the cost of doing business any litigation. So if they're going to make $24 billion and they have to pay $5.85 billion, they still are 80% ahead in profit. So they could afford to kill 66,000 people with every drug if you had similar returns. It's just good business. After all, we're talking about business and profits. So who cares if there's 66,000 to 500,000 dead Americans? Who cares 120,000 end up with heart attacks or stroke and many of them later die, but they were never monitored? These are just people, right? Yeah? No, these are not just people. These are human beings who trusted their doctor, trusted the medical establishment, trusted the FDA, and they died because of it. But profits were held more sacred than human life. That's why nobody responded to the challenge. So, needless to say, you're not going to get the truth about what to use and what not to use. And so when we tell you something's good, then it is good. By the way, this is from our science division. This is an article by Dr. Joseph Mercola. I wanted to share it with you. Quote, A new study conducted by researchers at the University of British Columbia provides evidence that Gardasil, a human papillomavirus vaccine, may cause a type of inflammation in the brain involving brain vessels, cerebral vasculitis, that can lead to death. As of this year, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System has received 119 reports of death following the human papillomavirus. 894 people are now disabled. 517 have life-threatening adverse events. 9,889 ended up going to emergency rooms. And 2,781 ended up in hospitals. Ever since Gardasil vaccine was licensed in 2006, reports of serious adverse events have included autoimmune and neurological disorders, sometimes involving clinical symptoms similar to cerebral vasculitis, an often fatal condition which blood vessels in the spinal cord and brain become acutely and chronically inflamed. According to the new study, many of the symptoms reported to vaccine safety surveillance databases following Gardasil shots are associated with cerebral vasculitis, and that in some cases cerebral vasculitis may be triggered by Gardasil vaccine. So what we have in this study is we have one more reason why parents should not vaccinate their daughters or sons with Gardasil. I have, last week I filmed in Vancouver, I filmed in British Columbia, I also filmed in outside of Seattle on an island, I filmed in Oregon. And I've completed principal photography on a major new documentary on vaccines. Very simply, I ask four questions. That's all. Are vaccines safe, as directed, for any given individual or group? What is the proof? Are they effective? Do they actually work? What is the proof? Are they not safe? What is the proof? And are they not effective? What is the proof? Four questions. These four questions have never been raised that I'm aware of, in any national forum with independent researchers. All of the people I interviewed, over 71, are independent. They are the top of their field also. The results you will see in about 6 months when I bring it out as another feature film. I will simply say this. Not a single woman, and they were all women in the film, not a single doctor or scientist, immunologist, chair of the Department of Immunology, would use Gardasil for anything, under any circumstances, because they know the truth. Well, if these courageous women in science and medicine know the truth, why is it all their colleagues do not? Or do they know? Or do they not want to know and are afraid to do anything about it? Just remember, if you're a television, radio, magazine, or newspaper, and you go after a medical device, a medical type of drugs, a vaccine, that company has multiple products, you're going to have those yanked from your media. That's going to cost you hundreds of millions of dollars. Are you willing to sacrifice those type of profits to tell the people the truth if the only advantage of telling your audience the truth, it might save them? Well, we clearly see what the media values. Your health, your child's health, not at all. Profits, yes. Now, the second part of that issue comes from Jonathan Benson, naturalnews.com. Human papillomavirus vaccine to be foisted on low-income girls in underdeveloped countries. I'll quote this. The vaccine mafia is currently in the process of devising new ways to forcibly deliver the deadly human papillomavirus vaccine Gardasil to low-income girls living in underdeveloped countries. Since the vaccine typically costs upwards of $400 for the full series of shots, it is simply unaffordable for the millions of young girls living in countries where an entire month's wages for an average family is not that high. So groups like Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunizations, a brainchild of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, are now having to come up with creative subsidizing programs to achieve their ultimate goal of vaccinating every child on the planet. Two recent studies, both of which were published in an open access journal, the British Medical Journal Medicine, were designed to address this issue by explicitly examining the costs associated with delivering the human papillomavirus vaccine to girls living in some of the poorest countries in the world. And then it goes on to talk about, is this really eugenics? Because of this huge disparity between those who have and have not, a lot of individuals and groups shill for the vaccine industry and are quietly injecting significant amounts of subsidized capital to make sure as many girls as possible get vaccinated. Genetically modified babies now being engineered in labs under guise of preventing incurable disease from Ethan Huff. He's a good reporter. Quote, life, whether human or otherwise, is no longer sacred to many of today's scientists who actually believe that tampering with the genetic blueprints of living beings will somehow improve humanity and create a better world. And this disturbing reality became ever more apparent recently when genetic butchers at Oregon Health and Science University announced their discovery of a way to manipulate the DNA of human embryos to obstruct normal gene transfer and create genetically, quote, superior babies that are supposedly less prone to disease. According to the Chicago Tribune, these genetically modified embryos are not yet intended to actually produce real living children, although it is only a matter of time before this nightmare becomes a reality. But they will be used in the present to investigate how babies in the future might avoid certain inherited diseases. So they're tampering with human genes. Now that brings me to two other things when it comes to understanding genetics. I spent a great deal of time recently, the better part of an afternoon, filming Professor Bruce Lipton, molecular biologist, former professor of medicine at Northwestern University, a research scholar in the 80s at Stanford University, and one of the finest molecular biologists in the United States. And I said, what is your basic concern about genetically engineered anything? Food, bodies? And he said this. He said, I'll make it very simple. Genes jump. Jumping genes. Well, we know that. Anyone in science knows about jumping genes. And he said, and by the way, all you have to do if you want to know more about jumping genes, go back and look under Barbara McClintock of Cold Springs Harbor Laboratory in New York. She was the one who finally determined what was called transposable elements, or TEs, called jumping genes. They're DNA sequences that move from one location on the genome to another. And these elements were first identified more than 50 years ago by McClintock. And a lot of people initially didn't believe it, but over the last 30 years, they found she was absolutely right. And now here's what we now know today. That over the decades, we now know that these jumping genes are found in almost all organisms, prokaryotes and eukaryotes, and typically in large numbers. And for example, these jumping genes make up approximately 50% of the human genome and up to 90% of the maize genome. Well, jumping genes can move from one site in a chromosome to another site, and even in a different chromosome. And hence, they can alter the genetic constitution of that organism. They're found in nature in almost all organisms. And this is an inherent property that comprises about 50% of the human genome. But also, we know that they can mutate. So what happens when you introduce into a genome a virus, a bacteria? Let's say you take something from a mouse or a pig, or a firefly or a salmon, and you introduce that into a human genome, according to Dr. Lipton, that can cause a form of transmission of one that can then cause a mutation of the other. And now that we know that genes can jump, we also know that then the entire organism can be mutated. So then he simply asked me back this. He said, Gary, He said, you are aware that what we're doing now and what we've been doing with all this genetically engineered food that we're eating, the corn, the soy, that and now the wheat and many of the things, that this could be causing our genes to mutate in such a way that makes us far more susceptible to diseases than we otherwise would have been. And he is correct. So that's why you should not eat genetically engineered material and why you should want to see that it's labeled. And we are now looking at the Proposition 37 in California because not all the votes are still in and our margin of loss is shrinking. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if we ask for a recount. Following up on these genes, here's the latest in our environmental segment. Quote, agribusiness giants Monsanto, DuPont, and Dow are plotting the boldest coup of a global food crop in history. If their request to allow a massive commercial planting of genetically modified maize are approved in the next 2 weeks by the government of outgoing President Felipe Calderon of Mexico, this parting gift to the gene giants will amount to a knife in the heart of the center of origin and diversity of maize. The consequences will be grave and global, with the approvals and December planting deadlines looming. Social movements and civil society organizations have called for an end to all genetically modified maize in Mexico. Mexico's Union for Concerned Scientists has called on the Mexican government to stop the processing of any application for open field release of genetically modified maize in Mexico. They have been joined by the UN Food and Agriculture Organization's appeal and to the UN Convention on Biological Diversity, where there was an appeal and intergovernmental bodies mandated to supervise food security and biodiversity to take immediate action. Outrage and alarm rang out through Mexico when the world's two largest commercial seed companies, Monsanto and DuPont, applied to plant 6 million acres in Mexico of transgenic maize. The land area is massive, about the size of El Salvador. And scientists have identified thousands of peasants' varieties of maize, making Mexico the global repository of maize genetic diversity. And all this would change. It would virtually destroy all that. Mind you, they've been using maize for over 7,000 years. And it's one of the three most commonly eaten crops in Mexico. And now they're going to destroy it? That's why it's so important that we become educated on genetically modified everything. I'm Gary Knoll. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome, all of you. I'm Gary Knoll. If you miss a program, I do 13 hours of live broadcasting a week. Please feel free to go to our archives and download any show. The most popular are Talk Back, the Sunday night show I do at 8 p.m. You can listen to it by two things. A, pick up a telephone, any telephone, and call 832-280-0066. 832-280-0066 or progressiveradionetwork.com, and you can listen live. Monday night show, 7 p.m., the Progressive Commentary Hour. That is the most popular show I do of all 13 hours. Enormous amount of downloads of that show, and you can download that show and listen to it at your leisure. I still got to talk about blueberries. Got a lot to say about that. And I'm going to take your calls on TalkBack now. If you'd like to address the issues I've been addressing or have ones that you would like to bring to our attention, give us a call at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. We're going to take just a very short break here to offer you up something one item that goes just to the Progressive Radio Network. It's a formula that works because no one else on the air, not Bonnie Fuller with Guns N' Roses, in fact, none of our 85 hosts have to raise a penny, because this works. We offer something, and today we're offering something we've never offered before and probably won't be able to offer again. I'm going to offer you the Red Stuff Extra. This is the organic and or wildcrafted from 32 fruits and enzymes and probiotics, and with humongous amount. This is non-GMO, it's vegan, it's gluten-free, and there's 10,000 ORAX per serving, which means magnificent amount of antioxidants with each serving. But why would you want this red stuff? Low calories, 40? Because you're getting the best of the best. Very high ingredients. Tomato, 950 milligrams. Tart cherry, 950 milligrams. That alone, it would be worth just getting this. Apple pectin, acerola berry, mangosteen, organic flaxseed powder, prune, a macai berry. I bet you've never had that. M-A-Q-U-I, one of the best superfoods. Blood oranges, red wine extract, 650 milligrams. I don't know if anyone gives you that amount. Prune extract, plums, orange, pear, pomegranate, 500 milligrams, mango, watermelon, papaya, passion fruit, 250 milligrams of green tea, bromelain, 200 milligrams, digestive enzymes, 250 milligrams, amylase, lipase, cellulase, papain. How about this? Resveratrol, 175 milligrams, cinnamon, 125 milligrams, ginger root, and then 8 billion, with a B, billion, non-dairy probiotics, about 5 different types. Is there anything better? Do you know anything better you can put in? And natural strawberry flavor, stevia for sweetener, and citric acid, which comes from citrus. Natural as a preservative. This is it. This is everything. It doesn't get better. Big jar, 30 servings, holding up my hand. You can see it right here. I take it every day. I take it several times a day. Now, here's the special. All right? You're going to get this at a reduced price of $69.95 plus. Now, listen up, because we only have this today. Yesterday, the great American artist, Peter Max, came into our studio during a fund drive for WBAI and contributed something for the cause, and it was very successful. We raised a lot of money yesterday, $165,000 for BAI in that pledge drive. And he was giving us one of his most favorite pieces of artwork, 11x13, print of it, but he's personally signing it and personally identify the person he's signing it to. So, to Mary from Peter Max and the date. And I asked him, how much is this worth? He's, well, you know, this would go anywhere for, I think he said $750 to $1,500, something like that. Anyhow, that's really irrelevant. What's relevant was that he was kind enough to do that. So we're adding that in today. So anyone who calls and gets the red stuff today for $69.99, a great price and a great product, if you want free as a gift today, we will include your name. Be sent over to Peter Max. He will then sign his beautiful print with your name and his name, himself, and get it out to you. And it's costing you nothing. It is free to you. So how about that? And if you want to know who Peter Max is and his great work, he's an icon, then go up and look under Peter Max. And I believe that we have a picture of that particular piece of work. It's one of his most favorites. It's a beautiful one. But you don't have to go and pay whatever you would pay because it's free. How about that for the deal of a lifetime? $69.99, you're getting a signed Peter Max, a print of one of his most beautiful works of art, because he's just a nice guy. And so we called and asked, could we offer this too, because it's a fundraiser for Progressive Radio Network? Yes. Okay. So that's today. Give a call. How do you get it? 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Let me also mention that coming up on December 6th is the world premiere here in New York on the Upper West Side at the Lowe's Theater, the largest theater they have in there, of my new film on genetic engineering. It is a really damning indictment against everything and everyone involved in genetic engineering. And I will also put in there all their lies, and because we get some of the late film clips on their lies and deception of a $50 million campaign that helped swing it their way. Plus, we're us also looking at voter fraud that happened out there as well, vote fraud. So, but everything why you should not eat anything genetically engineered is in this film. I filmed in India and all across the world. This is the film about genetic engineering, if you want to become aware. For that film to join me on December 6th, at least while seats remain, call 646-926-5422, 646-926-5422, to join me on December 6th, coming up in 3 weeks, 7 p.m. We'll have a panel afterwards with hopefully Jeffrey Smith and a whole group of people. And I've done three sold out back-to-back-to-back in the last year and a half at the Ethical Culture Center, which holds 1,000 seats. I just wanted a different venue. I wanted an actual movie theater. And so that's why we're doing it this theater. Going to be lots of people. 646-926-5422. Also, I'm going to be hiring some highly skilled carpenters or people who have construction background, masonry, electrical, plumbing, to do 1 to 3 months worth of work out of state. Might be Montana. We're building. If you want to be considered for being hired, you'll call Jason. And Jason's number is, write this down, 646-926-5422. Excuse me, 5428. Let me do that again. 646-926-5428. I'd like to welcome all of you who are just coming across the dial right now. Let's talk about blueberries, and we're going to take your calls. Our number to listen in today and to call in is 888-874-4888. That's our talkback number. Now, you've heard me mention that blueberries are a superfood. They're one of nature's most perfect. Put them in a blender or put them in a cereal in the morning. They're going to help you because they're going to turn off inflammation. They can help your brain. They can help your memory. They help you thin your blood. They help repair your DNA that's been damaged. They can lower your risk of metabolic syndrome. They can even prevent cancer. Why? Because they're rich in what are called antho, A-N-T-H-O, cyanins, C-Y-A-N-I-N-S, and also what are called stilbenes, which are very important compounds that help with your immune system as well. Now, a little longer than normal, but I feel we need to talk about this. Blueberries are known to increase the lifespan across different species. Research discovered, that, for example, that fruit flies live 10% longer when fed a regular diet containing blueberry extract. And not only do the fruit flies live longer, but they also show improved levels of physical activity. And these enhancements arise both from increased tolerance of oxidative stress and from beneficial changes in the way certain important genes are expressed. Still more dramatic lifespan extension has been shown in another aging model called C. elegans. After supplementation with blueberry extract, these organisms lived an average of 20% longer, and the maximum lifespan increased substantially. So mammals experience increased longevity and slowing aging processes when fed blueberry extract. I know I feed all my birds, I feed my monkeys blueberries virtually every day. You can lose weight, you can lower your obesity risk by having blueberries. That's been shown in some studies done over a five-year period and by the National Institutes of Aging. Blueberry extracts have many positive effects that have been helping people to maintain normal blood sugar levels. And so here's how it impacts your brain. It slows the response to sounds if you're aging. It increases it if you're not. Your skin will not be as wrinkled, thinning, rough, or sagging because it impacts it. And you have less bone loss. So all those are important because blueberries can restore youthful speeds. They can improve overall appearance and restoration of your skin thickness and smoothness and radiance and firmness and reduce wrinkles. They can improve cell survival, reduce damage from light, reduce new blood vessel formation. They can be more active in bone-producing cells. That's all good. So I just think that with cognitive improvement, protecting your brain function, lowering your risk of inflammation, helping your genes re-regulate, rich in flavonoids, it's just a win-win on every level, and especially for diabetics, because blueberries and blueberry extracts fight elevated blood sugar and reduce your insulin requirements. That's a big plus. Blueberries also, they are rich in flavonoids. There are lots of flavonoids. There's over 6,000, but these are some of the best flavonoids. And blueberry extract reduces blood levels of total and low-density lipoprotein, the bad LDL. That's good. That can help protect you from heart disease. They can enhance your exercise effort, and they can protect against cancer. In fact, blueberry extracts block DNA damage. Damage to the DNA is what can lead to cancer. They block that. Blueberry extracts stop excessive proliferation, meaning uncontrolled cell reproduction results in formation of dangerous tumors. It can help block that. And blueberry extracts prevent development of precancerous lesions. It can help there as well. So just get your blueberry extract, blueberries, get it every day. Let's take our phone calls now. For the remainder of our program, our forum is open at 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. And our first person up is Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. I have a couple of emails here. This whole GMO issue is really still hot in California. This comes from Lori. She says, I was out in California last week, from Santa Monica in L.A. up to Pleasanton, San Francisco, Livermore, and she heard arguments about GMOs from what she calls professional, educated, even scientific people. I mean, here are their arguments against having to label GMO. Number one, she says, what difference does it make? As almost all grain foods, corn and so on, are genetically modified already anyway, why do we have to make a label for it? And the second argument is, why don't we just label non-modified foods like we do organic foods? And she said, I had a hard time convincing relatives out in California of this otherwise. She says, I'm a New Yorker, and I listen regularly, and I appreciate all you do.
There was a very well-orchestrated public relations campaign in California, and the whole idea was to confuse the voters, to make them think that if they bought into this law and voted yes, that the cost of their food would go up about $400 to $500 a year, that it was unnecessary and it would place excessive bureaucratic burden upon the farmers growing any food to label everything. None of that, of course, is true. They also gave the argument that genetically modified food and organic food or regular traditional food are virtually the same. Again, study after study, they are not. But we didn't have a chance, and none of the television programs would show the high levels of cancers in mice and how large the tumors were, especially the renal tumors, the liver tumors, and the mammary tumors, the breast tumors, in the rats. In fact, in some occasions, the tumors were as large as the rest of the rat. They were just grossly distorted, the rat's bodies. That did not happen in any of the regular produce food, but it did happen in the genetically engineered food, and especially those that were using the pesticide with it. So if you have enough money and you can influence people to create doubt, then they're less likely to want to go to the extra effort of buying something that's not genetically engineered. And that's how they won the day. All right? Next, Hold on. I'm going to come back to you. Let's say hello to Tim from New Jersey. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Gary.
Yeah.
I was looking into the that it was an earlier National Defense Authorization Act from 97 where they put in the how they're legally engaging in the chemtrails.
Yes.
Is there any way that we could get that repealed, or is there any other approach we could use to put an end to what's going on?
Of course there is, but not at this time. It will take a complete devastation of some order, whether economic disorder or environmental disorder, before we're able to displace those in power. People in power are going to hold on to that for two reasons. A, because everything they've done that's illegal, immoral, or crimes against humanity would be uncovered and they would be held accountable, because there's no statute of limitations when it comes to a crime against humanity. So that they don't want to get out of the box. Secondly, they get all the rewards for staying in power and keeping other people, keep them in power, empower themselves. So it's a self-reinforcing group. That means that there's no real improvement in environmental laws, no way to protect our cities, no way to feed the 18 million homeless or hungry children, no way to stop home foreclosures, no way to forgive any debt of students or other people, no way to curtail the too big to fail corporations, no way to stop the military-industrial complex. All that is based upon just a relatively small number of people and their corporations controlling the entire process by which all policymaking is done. You have to have a system breakdown before you're ever going to have a populist breakthrough. Otherwise, they control the media, they control the agenda, they control the talking points. Even today, when Israel is about to invade Gaza, they showed you the tragedy, and indeed it is a tragedy, of the three innocent Israeli citizens who died because of the stupidity of these rockets from Hamas. But they didn't show you the 19 who died in the Gaza Strip. They didn't show you the 1,400 citizens, civilians, children, who died 4 years ago when Israel invaded Gaza. They didn't show you the thousands who died in Lebanon when Israel invaded. They've never gone in. Geraldo Rivera is a super nationalistic mindset. Even today, he was talking about General Petraeus. Oh, this man who I've known when he was a two-star general, then a three-star general, and when I was embedded with him, you know, back in 2003, this man is such a, he's like Eisenhower. Now, on some levels, yeah, Eisenhower had an affair. But this is the man, he says, wouldn't possibly betray his country. And I'm thinking, my God, Geraldo, shave off the mustache, take out your heart, and put in a new one. You've lost it, buddy. Let me ask you something. Tim, if you lie to me, but you don't lie to Luann, who's on the other line, are you a liar?
Am I a liar?
If you lie to me about anything, but you don't lie to Luann, are you a liar?
Of course.
If you stole something from Luann, but you never stole from me, are you a thief?
Yes.
If you betrayed your wife, but you didn't betray your secretary, are you a betrayer?
Yes.
Then why can't Geraldo or the other people who seem to speak without any forethought of reason and are purely patriotic in as in the same degree that Schwarzenegger was on hormones, we're dealing with completely dysfunctional people at the ethical level. If a man betrays his wife, he is a betrayer. If he lied to his wife, he is a liar. And when you're a liar, you steal the truth. So you're dealing with people who will seem reasonable and seem responsible in the public arena, where they have to watch everything they do and say. But at their core value, they are extremely, extremely dysfunctional. Bill Clinton, all these people, these serial offenders, they're all the same. JFK, look at what he really did. You know, JFK ended up getting himself killed. He and his brother, because of all the dirty deals they did and how they had to try to have Castro killed and how they brought the mafia in. and all of his affairs, it was inevitable that someone would go against him, especially when he fired Alan Dulles, who at that point was one of the most powerful men in America. And then Dulles got himself appointed to oversee JFK. Kennedy hated Dulles. Dulles hated Kennedy. And yet it was Dulles that oversaw the Warren Commission. So everything we do wrong in the United States.
You'll be right there.
Everything. Why? Because all we have are dysfunctional people. All these people are dysfunction. Was it Bill O'Reilly? Did I forget something? Did Bill O'Reilly make sexually inappropriate comments to one of his employees talking about loafer scrubs and what he'd like to do with her? And did she not sue? And did she not have tape recordings of all that? And did he and Fox not settle for some amount, possibly upwards of $10 million? And then he goes on a crusade to redeem his own sullied and dysfunctional self. He goes on a crusade against sexual abuse. Did Araldo or any of the people at Fox or MSNBC and any of these other clowns, did they ever go into Gaza to see what it's like to have the world's largest open-air prison? Did they ever spend a month there to see what it's like when a mother has to feed her family and they don't have clean water and they don't have good hospitals? They have to go outside and they frequently can't get outside of their own boundaries. Do they know what it's like to live in a prison? They don't. They are so biased. They are so extremely dysfunctional. And yet these are the people who have power in our society to determine our reality. That's why you don't have change now, Tim. That's why you're not going to have change. As long as the Geraldo Rivera's the world to apologize for militarism and extremism and never once look at what it means, instead of being the hero soldier, to be the blood-soaked victim, the baby, the mother, the pregnant woman on the ground. They don't count in Geraldo's world. They don't. But the hero, American, they count. Well, sorry, any American that kills an innocent civilian is not a hero in my world. And hence, you're not going to change our military overreach. You're not going to change the imperial overdrive. You're not going to change the kind of colonialist, racist mindset that we have, where if you're a person of color, if you're a person who's poor, if you're a person that is Muslim, you simply don't count. If you get killed, it's collateral damage, which is acceptable because the people in the cockpits and the manned drone cockpits will be high-fiving after. The consequences is immaterial. They can't be held accountable because no one has been held accountable for anything. We didn't hold the bankers accountable. We don't hold the credit cards accountable for charging usurious rates when you miss a fee. We don't hold the media accountable for its biases. We don't hold the political parties accountable for excluding anyone else from participating in a debate with a third-party idea that might change our direction and give us a different perception. You know, we're totally dysfunctional as a society. So the only way anything is going to change that I see is we must have a breakdown, complete and total breakdown. Then those millions of Americans who are functional, humanistic, spiritual, intelligent, will come forward, working together. They will rebuild a better society. We will take away the laws that protect corporations, that make corporations entity. Corporations are not entity. When it was petitioned to get colonies, how many of the 13 colonies, Luann, were corporations?
None that I know of.
All 13 were.
Really?
Yes. Everyone, the Massachusetts corporations, these were all trading companies. They were all formed by petitioning George III and his parliament. And in the actual documents, it was stated that from the Virginia Commonwealth, all of these were corporations, not to seek the common good, but rather to seek control over all resources, land, water, people in those lands, waters, all trade. And then that profit went back to the king and to the king's partners. And every member of parliament was a partner. So as a result, America was founded upon the idea, not of the original Roman ideals. Who do you think built the first roads in Rome that are still there today? That's the formation of the first corporations, but those were corporations for the common good. The common good means for all of us, things held in common, our roads, our rivers. And then that morphed in the United States into what corporations could do for the private profit good. And today it's morphed again through Citizens United into that they're individuals and have the same rights. That is an absurdity and must be completely removed, where corporations are no longer given the charters they have, and anyone in a corporation who makes any mistake must be held personally accountable for it. So if you're a scientist and you create a product and people die, you will be personally held accountable. And everyone who approved of that will also be held accountable. If you don't do that, then nothing's ever going to change. So, but you see the current method of doing business, none of that will change. So just live your life consciously, thoughtfully, intelligently, and then when things change, maybe a solar storm changes it, who knows? But whenever things change and we have to re-evolve ourselves, hopefully more progressive people will take the position that no more politics as usual. Hope that answers your question, Tim. Luann, we're out of time. Thank you all for calling. And Luann, for those who would like to reach you and share their questions and comments, tell them how to do that.
Sure. They can email me at WHNN, William Harry Nancy Nancy, WHNN at AOL.com, or you can call me at 631-504-6198. That's 631-504-6198.
Thank you, Luann. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more in our next program. Now let's say hello to Eutrice Lead, who's standing by Monday to Friday following the show to share insights on the human condition. Hi, Eutrice.
Hello, Gary. I was just remarking to Matt, the engineer, that you seem to be in my brain because very often your thoughts are continued in my head, and it's exactly where I intend to go today. For example, I'm talking about now is the time for people to assess the condition. I mean, the election has created a clear environment in which to rethink our priorities and to get serious about organizing.
Great. Well, that certainly is a segue from what I was sharing. So we're looking forward to hearing it. Eutrice Lead, right now on the Progressive Radio Network.